from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitin.
Good morning. Happy Wednesday, and thank you for listening to the G and Ursula Show. There is no good morning to Ursula, as Ursula is out for the rest of the week. But who's filling in for Ursula? My former co-host from Cairo Nights, Aaron Mason. Brother Mace, good morning, sir.
Good morning, G. Thanks for having me back, bud.
Man, brother, it's like old times.
I know.
You know what I mean?
It's like an old pair of shoes that you haven't worn in a little while. And then you just go after them one day. You're like, oh, man, these are going to be great. And you put them on, and it's like no time has passed.
The way you and I agree and disagree on topics is like, well, first of all, you and I really don't disagree about much. That's number one.
Not a ton. not a ton. Not like fundamentally, but when we start getting into the details, I think you and I have
But when we disagree, it's like laughing through it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll try to do this segment. This segment is called Agree to Disagree. And I don't know how it's going to work out with us, but we'll try to do the best that we can. Agree to Disagree, brought to you by Johnny Tsunami.
One of these days, we just got to take off the gloves. Just really go at it.
Should teenagers have the right to be forgotten? That is the question the Washington Post raised. It comes up centrally around Alexi McCammon. She was appointed the editor-in-chief of Teen Vogue until some tweets surfaced that she had apologized in the past for that she wrote when she was 16 that were objectionable. And they brought up the question, should teens' social media posts disappear as they age? And before I have you guys answer, I want to bring up kind of a crazy thought. So Facebook gained broad popularity in about 2009, which means that someone born in 1993 was 16 years old at that time.
Right.
In 2028, we will have the ability to vote for a president and see everything that they were posting on social media when they were 16. Mm-hmm. So, G, I ask you, should teen social media posts be wiped away?
Absolutely. Yes, yes, and 20 more yeses. The folks grabbing the phone at 16 years old to go and say something, especially some of these youngsters who are, if you will, born into the social media age, they don't know any different. At least us, right? Those that are maybe an older millennial or generation Gen X, or especially the baby boomers, we know what life is like before social media. We kind of know better, if you will. And the dumb stuff that we did, it wasn't recorded. And don't act like we didn't do dumb stuff when we were younger, because we did. Now, some of these folks that are 14, 15 years old, getting on there, saying some things. They're going through puberty. They're going through maybe parents going through a divorce. All kinds of things going on in their life. And so they got emotions. They don't know how to control it. So they say those things and get on social media. And yet now we want to say to them, you're 33 years old now, you're probably not the person that you used to be, and now we want to say you shouldn't get this job? Come on, people. Get rid of it. Let erase it. Let it be erased. Once you hit 18, clean slate.
Man, I don't know, because I still said some dumb stuff after I was 18. I think we need to get better at not caring or understanding that people change or we do dumb stuff. Do I like the idea that you have to sign up to something if you want to use Facebook at 16, or even though there are kids way younger than that using social media or whatever, you sign up, you put your age in, and then when you get to a certain date, it can wipe up stuff for you. Fine. But I think the real issue is how we handle these things. We find tweets that somebody sent 15 years ago that said something offensive and stupid or racist or, you know, just or hateful. That stuff, that happened, but that doesn't mean that's who they are now. Hopefully, in those years, you've changed and become a better person. And I think we just need to be more willing to accept that kind of idea.
Have you guys changed? Have you changed over the last 5 years?
Oh, like crazy.
1,000%.
Yeah. I mean, chefs having kids and stuff.
Right? Like, how we do things, you change. Like, people are like, oh, well, I knew G 20 years ago, and he wasn't like he is
right now.
Hold up.
I hope not.
Hold on. Let me get this straight. What has happened in 20 years? Huh. Let's see. We've gone through a recession. We've gone through a pandemic. I've lived in my car. I've had kids.
Right.
Now I got one that's getting ready to graduate on Friday. Do you know what I've gone through in 20 years? Of course I'm not the same person.
I heard Jay-Z talk about one time. He went back to his old neighborhood and everybody was mad at him. They're like, you changed, man. You changed, man. And he's like, yeah, of course I did. Like, you didn't. That's the problem.
Can you put it back in the box, though? Like, I mean,
no.
Everything's out there. I feel like most people don't need to worry about this, though. If you are a public figure, if you are someone who is in the public eye, you're a famous athlete, you want to have a high-profile job, this is going to be an issue for you. But for the rest of folks, it's not really a problem.
No, because people get thrust into notoriety all the time for things they had nothing to do with. You know what I mean?
So never hope to go viral, lest your old tweets become public.
Basically.
Two weeks ago, I got a message from a listener, and they were going back and forth, and they were just explaining to me how, you know, they didn't like the show at first, and they had all these preconceived notions of how the show would be. And then they told me, like, after a while, like, you know, they found themselves, like, they really loved the show and the things that they've been challenged with, not necessarily saying they agree with me all the time.
Right.
So we got this number, and I called him, and we had a good conversation. And here's what stood out about that conversation. And he was totally honest. And he was like, G, I realized after almost a year of listening to your show, I realized that I had never in my life sat down and talked to a group of black people.
Hmm.
Never even had a conversation.
Right.
He says, now I've known, you know, I've never done that. So he says, what I'm saying is that since I've been listening to the show, he says, sometimes it feels like you're sitting in my living room having these conversations. And so to hear your perspective, again, not that you agree all the time, but it has changed him to better understand just some different things that they didn't know.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that I've taught them anything. It's almost like Brother Mace, with me, you, and Frank used to do the show all the time.
Uh-huh.
Like, do you know, like, I always say proximity brings about change and distance brings about fear.
Yeah, for sure.
What you don't know of, you have a good chance of having fear of.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know
that's
I mean?
And that's so natural. It's like what you said. We've been talking about older people and how our society treats them. When's the last time, you know, anyone our age sat down with anyone who was wildly out of their age bracket that wasn't a member of their family, you know, or at work, like where you really like sat down and had a conversation? I can't tell you the last time.
Yeah. Yeah. Good stuff.
Speaking of things we do not know, where did COVID come from? So last night, Jon Stewart went on with Stephen Colbert for the first in-studio taping of The Late Show since the pandemic began. And I think Stewart surprised a lot of folks because he wanted to talk about whether COVID came from a Chinese lab leak, and he supports that idea.
Uh-huh.
Gee, my question for you, does it matter?
No, at least not to me. Like, my cousin Michael is no longer here.
Right.
I don't know if it's going to make me more or less sad to find out if it was something happened from the lab. All I know is COVID happened. America, the world shut down. There has been 3.8 million deaths worldwide from COVID. Near 600,000 now here in the United States. Tens of thousands of jobs lost here in the state of Washington. All I know is what COVID has done. Mm-hmm. And as far as where it came from, I'll let you experts figure it out. When you experts figure out where it came from, I guess I'll report it here on the news. But to keep it a buck with you guys, I don't care.
Yeah.
It happened.
I kind of don't care as my baseline here, right? Just in general. I haven't looked into it. I don't have an opinion about this. I know you're not supposed to say that on the radio. You're supposed to come out with a hot take. But honestly, people need to be more comfortable saying, I don't know. I don't have an opinion about this one. I will say I watched Jon Stewart. I watched the clip talking about it. And it was the first time I ever entertained the idea in any real way that this is possible. His bit was very funny. But you don't know. you're probably not going to know, and move on. There are more important things to deal with than the why. Let a couple of the people who may, maybe there was some shenanigans in the lab, maybe there was a mistake in the lab that somebody made, those people need to know. If that happened and why, so that they don't do it again. Other than that, I just don't see why it matters.
I mean, like, from the very beginning of this, from the very beginning, and it all started over in China. I remember it was there was one of their doctors that it kind of got on. It was trying to expose and let everybody know. And it was like, this is top secret, but I'm letting you know right now. And remember that doctor died of COVID, right? But before he died, it was some of the officials over there in China that were trying to silence him, right? So what I'm saying is this, like, do you guys really think we're really going to get to the bottom of what happened in China?
No, and it can
look... We can't even get to the bottom of what happened with Mayor Jenny Durkin's text here, and that's local. you being serious. I'm not trying to joke.
I think for me, this is a great sort of intellectual exercise because it's easy to see two things and connect the dots, right? That's a logical problem that we have in our society and around the world right now is too many people take too many liberties connecting dots, right? Just because something is coincidental or it looks one way doesn't mean that's why it happened. And that's just kind of that was the crux of the Jon Stewart thing for me.
Without jumping on YouTube and going conspiracy theory here, like I'll just kind of share with you how my mind thinks about this. Right. And as far as like whether or not I care, or don't care, whatever. But this is what I do know. I know that wars and how things are going to be fought are going to be different than how they used to be, right?
Well, sure.
Like before it was bang, bang, shoot them up, you're dead, ambulance comes, or people die. Unfortunately, that's kind of how war was. Right now, it is different. You're seeing the cyber attacks that are occurring, right? You're seeing going back and forth of that. So is there a possibility that this could have been, if you will, some sort of, or could this be a future of that? It's possible. But what I'm saying is it's China. We don't know. And I don't know that we're ever going to get to the bottom of what happens and what goes on in China.
Before we move on, I'm going to slightly disagree with you guys. I think it matters very much, just not for the reasons that most people think. It matters not so that you can point fingers and lay blame, recriminations, etc. I do not believe it is a weapon. No country would release intentionally a virus unto their own population first. However, it does very much matter for the future of infectious disease research, because H1N1... that escaped from a lab, I believe, back in the 70s originally. If COVID came out of a lab leak, you have to ask the question, are we preventing pandemics through researching potential future ones, or are we actually causing them?
Yeah.
Now, as for the reason, hey, who are we going to blame for this? You know, if you're stuck in a car on a long road trip with five or six people in a van and somebody lets one rip, does it really matter who did it?
Wait! I want to put a bow.
That's a mic drop, man.
First of all, shout out to Chef. Chef, that was fire, bro. That was fire. But one last thing to put a bow on this. How am I going to go back and forth with someone saying, "Gee, it should matter where it came from," but some of you guys are the same ones that said it was a hoax in the first place?
Yeah, right. Right.
I'm confused.
Pick a lane.
Wait, is it real or not?
Uh-huh.
Okay, go ahead, Chef.
Okay, moving on. Morgan Stanley's chief executive, James Gorman, famous name, of course. You've heard of him all over in the news. Well, he actually just splashed for making, I guess, kind of a controversial statement. He said he'd be really disappointed if U.S. workers hadn't come back into the office by September, stating, if you can go out to eat, you can come into the office. Aaron Mason, is he wrong?
Yeah, he's wrong. I'm going to try and do this without swearing. I'm very upset about this. Going out to eat a meal and going to work in an office for a day, that's apples and a bird you're trying to get. It's not even apples and oranges. It's apples and an animal from the sea, let's say. You going out, socializing, choosing to go do that, spend some money on a meal, sit down. yeah, okay, we can do that now. That has nothing to do with being forced to come back into an office for 9 hours a day, whatever the commute time is. Let's add that on top of it. Now not being able to do the little things in between that we know we just had a giant experiment that showed that we are good at working from home. I just don't see any reason why people should be forced to go back into an office at all.
Man, come on. I couldn't believe the story here. The chef sent us for this, agreed to disagree. I'm like, what? What do you mean if you can go out to eat, you can go back to work? Man. Who in their right mind jumps in and says, hey, significant other, let's go out to eat. Where you want to go? Well, let's go travel an hour in traffic to be able to get there and then right. An hour back.
Right.
Like, I mean, I'm not saying that you don't do that to go to somewhere nice or something like that, but just not a regular occurrence for you to. Usually when you go to eat, where do you eat? You eat around your community or in your neighborhood. You support the local businesses in your neighborhood. Nobody's driving usually an hour away. I cannot believe he said that. And you're right, Mace. To not swear on this topic.
How can you argue against that? How can you argue against this? This is absolutely true. If you are safe going and eating in a restaurant, you are safe being in your office space if you're vaccinated. That's 100% true. Whether you choose to do so is your own volition. You can quit your job if your boss tells you to come back in.
Yeah.
But no, he's not wrong.
No, what do you... Wait, hold on.
You're defending this guy?
I'm blindsided by this.
I'm totally...
He's not wrong. Look, if it's safe to go into a restaurant and eat, you can be in the office. What is wrong with that? Now people can make choices, but...
Okay, all right. Maybe I read into his motivations a little bit. This sounded like you better get your butts back into the office. That's how I interpreted this statement.
Yeah.
So, all right, maybe he didn't mean that. Maybe he's just purely comparing those two things. But there are... No. Dang it, chef!
Well, here's the thing, like... Yeah, if he wants to compel his employees to come back, he can do that. They also have the right to quit. He's not wrong, okay? This is just my final word on that particular one. Is he wrong?
Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong.
Am I wrong?
You're not wrong, Walter. You're just an
Okay, then.
Man. I love
Lebowski.
Tell you, first of all, Mace, I got to say right now, I want to swear, but not at this story. Now it's Chef. Because... And here's why, because Chef's not wrong. Chef just absolutely made this guy right in what he said. And it makes me mad. Because I have no comeback, because that is entirely true.
Safety-wise, like, sure, but there are so many more
you
considerations
can't yeah but it, though.
To make.
You
in
can't
this
yeah but it.
Land
can't
of the
yeah
free, guys, do what you want, come back in or no.
I'm so irritated.
I don't need health insurance tied to my work. Let's go.
Chef, what are we doing at 11:30, man? I'm so thrown off. I'm so thrown off by what you just did to us.
This is
I
such
feel
a
blindsided.
Natural segue. You will not believe how many people are on the precipice of doing exactly what we just talked about and saying, bye-bye, I'm out of here.
Folks quitting their jobs. Coming up next, it is Gene Ursula with Brother Mace. This hour of the G and Ursula Show is brought to you by Guardian Operations. Mace, there's a story that you definitely wanted to tell all the good people about. What you got, brother?
Well, look, we were talking about it a little bit on Agree to Disagree there at the end. And there's a story out now that's talking about something called the Great Resignation. That's a phrase coined by a professor at Texas A&M. Microsoft did a study. And they found out that 41% of people would consider leaving their current employer within the next year. 41% of the global workforce. That is a hugely significant number of people. And one of the main reasons that people are giving for wanting to leave is I don't want to go back to an office. Companies are starting to say, all right, you got to come back to the way things were. And I think... You know, we've proved over this pandemic that if the situation lines up, if you have the right type of job, this doesn't work for every job, obviously, but if you have the right type of job, you can do your work from home, live a much more satisfying life, and productivity in many, many cases actually went up. So I was actually encouraged to hear this, because the way things are right now, I mean, it's just people are so taken advantage of in the American workplace, so taken advantage of. And this is finally people standing up and saying, like, look, it's better another way, and I'm done with doing it this way that really just makes no sense in today's day and age. What do you think, G?
I think that there is a microscope. There is a spotlight on how bad those have been taken advantage of in the American workplace.
Mm-hmm.
The continuation of the $7.25 an hour,
right,
federal minimum wage.
It's insane.
And here's the kicker. The story recently by ProPublica about the barely taxes being paid by Jeff Bezos, who's the richest richest man in the world, and Elon Musk. That story has been met with not, oh my goodness, this is terrible. It has been met with, oh my goodness, I can't believe that that was leaked.
Right.
We need to find out who did that, and they need to be prosecuted.
The problem is we found out about it.
That's the problem.
Right.
That is the biggest problem.
Yeah.
And so hearing that, I've known people. I don't want to address the elephant in the room, Mace.
Yeah.
But you want to go ahead and dig on this? Because I think you have more to say about this topic because you are one of those people.
Yeah. I mean, there were a lot of different factors, right? My situation was a little bit different. There was other stuff going on. But yeah, I definitely left a job that wasn't working for me in the middle of the pandemic. And I think on the whole, right, we look at the way things are now, and when you're in the middle of something, you said something this morning, G, when we were talking, I don't think it was on air, about you don't feel your chains if you're not moving.
Yeah.
Right? Like it's the old frog in the slowly increasingly hot water, and it gets boiled alive, never jumps out because it never quite realizes things are so bad in our culture right now. The U.S. economy is basically a pyramid scheme, and the people at the bottom are doing all the work and not getting compensated fairly for it, while the people at the top are taking more and more and more as a percentage of the work that everyone else is doing and just sitting on it like dragons. Basically, that money's not getting recirculated into the economy. That hurts everybody. And so I just think that when you have people, working people who understand, like, no, I don't, my job shouldn't be my whole life. Now, for some people, they want that, right? There are some people who their job is their passion, and that is their whole life. And I understand that, and I support that, and I envy that, frankly. I wish that was my situation. But for the rest of us, we have to go to work. We have to do a job so we can pay our bills, so we can live our lives,
sure,
right? And so sure, we figured out this last year. We did this crazy experiment that we were forced to do, and mm-hmm, it worked out for everybody except those handful of managers and bosses that just need people to be in an office building so they can look over their shoulder and micromanage them the whole time.
Yeah,
I mean I don't see what's up.
Crazy. I think and understand, right? I understand what this is. Like 41% of people saying, you know what, I quit. I'm looking at my job different. And then there's the other side of this, right? Like because of this pandemic, I believe, me personally, I can't speak for anyone else, I love my job more today than I ever have.
Mm-hmm.
It put in perspective what I do on a daily basis so much more. It's the reason why when I had COVID and my boss was like, hey, go ahead, you can take off work. I'm like, no, I love my job.
Mm-hmm.
And I think COVID, for me, this pandemic did that for me. It made me also love other things, but we're talking about jobs. It made me love my job that much more. And that's why I totally understand why that there are some people that took a second look at their job and were like, you know what? I don't love you like I thought. And like I did say earlier, by the way, that's an African proverb, is you don't know there's chains that you're chained until you move. Mm-hmm. And when you move, you hear the clink. You're like, wait a minute. And so totally understand that. But I do want to leave room for my man, Chef. Chef, your thoughts on this topic, brother.
I think considering quitting is a lot different than actually quitting. I think there are a lot of people who have taken the time to reevaluate their life right now, but realistically do not have the means to quit their job. Mm-hmm. They don't have the means to take a gap in pay or a gap in insurance.
Yep.
Because people move so many jobs right now and so few people have the training that they need to step outside their own industry, doing so takes a lot of time. You have to know someone in some sort of different field in order to change positions. I feel like there's a lot of stories right now about workers gaining more power, whether it comes to wages being raised at places like, you know, Chipotle or even Dick's, etc., and a lot of workers talking about changing jobs. Yes, I think the office environment is changing. Workers will have a little bit more power here, but I am highly skeptical of those being durable, lasting changes.
Don't you think everybody's changing all the time, though? I mean, long gone are the days that you worked decades at the same company. Mm. I don't know anyone that's going to be in that situation that's anywhere near my age. Mm. I think that's more the new normal. People are like, I'm not locked in. Once we figure out how to separate your ability to go see a dang doctor from having to have a particular job, I think you're going to see a lot of people make that move more. Gee, would you come back?
Come back where? To the office?
Every day?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I love my job.
What you waiting for?
I'm waiting to not have to ride in that traffic.
That I-5 in Tacoma to get fixed.
I'm not going to lie to you. When I come in on Fridays, just so you guys know, I have to get up at 4:30 in the morning and go run. And then I got to get to the office and battle through all that traffic. I want to be all that. Now, one thing as we move on from this topic.
So your quality of life is better because you're home.
My quality of life. But if there's one thing I want to bring up is this. You know, the vaccines. How much did it cost, Chef, to get those vaccines, those doses? How much did it cost you?
I don't remember seeing a bill. Weird.
So let me get this straight. The vaccine is to help Americans, and it was free. But insulin shots, those aren't free. You see how that works? I would love for things in America to start to change. Wouldn't it be beautiful if insulin shots were free?
Not just
like
not,
the vaccines?
Not just not free. They're $1,000.
Oh, wait, so much so that there's so many. Like, you can come on. Like, we're begging you to come and get the free shots. We'll even give you enter you into a lottery to get these free shots.
Yeah.
Something to think about. Coming up next, your text, your feedback, and of course, Ursula's words to live by, which I'm going to need your help with. It's G and Ursula. It is the G and Ursula Show. Mace has been amazing as he fills in for Ursula. Mace is now... Yeah, bro. And by the way, Mace is going to be here all week long.
Come on.
So,
Come on.
And you know what, Mace?
Yeah.
Just for you, I'm going to come in studio on Friday.
Just for me?
Just for you.
I thought you were going to say tomorrow, too, and I got so excited. It's fine. I'll take Friday. Beggars can't be Tuesday. I'll take Friday.
All right, now it's time. Let's get to the text. The U.S. Senate unanimously passes a bill making Juneteenth a federal holiday. 253 says, 5 years ago, as a vendor for Expedia, June came around and I saw a big Juneteenth sign that caused me to look it up and learn about it. At first, I thought they were just making up a reason for an employee celebration.
206, I had never heard of Juneteenth until last year, and I'm 65.
Wow. If you can go out to eat, you can come into the office. Is that wrong? 206 says, I agree with Chef. You can go to a restaurant, grocery store, and home improvement store, then you can go to work.
253, when was the last time anyone went out to eat and stayed at the restaurant for 8 hours or more? chef and all this and this CEO are off base. I agree with GN Mace. Nice rhyme.
Wait, where was that person at when we were doing this argument?
I know we needed you 2-5.
I could have fought chef with that. 206 says, I think he just meant that if people feel comfortable eating out, they should feel comfortable going back to work. Do you trust the vaccine or not? I'm a pharmacist, and I do. We trust other vaccines, and we should trust this one.
Like that. Should teens' social media get wiped clean as they get older? 253 says the criminal records of minors get sealed when they turn 18. Why can't they have something like that happen with their social media posts?
253 says, I went to high school in the mid-80s. Some of the get ready for this word, it's kind of old-timey, folks. Photographs I took at parties, etc. Wow. Thank God we didn't have social media then. I vote clear the deck at 18.
Couldn't agree more. 425, if you grew up in the 80s and 90s like I did, I thought I'd never be able to hold elected office because I smoked pot. I feel like the only people who will ever be electable in the future are the young folks smart enough to stay off social media or who never post anything controversial.
Being serious, if you take all of our conversations just 10 years ago,
and you
made them public today,
forget it.
All of us are fired.
Yeah.
All of us. Amazon hourly employees have 150% turnover to the point where Amazon execs are worried they'll run out of people to hire in the U.S. The 253 says, new motto for Amazon, making Walmart look like a quality employer. But people on my side, the left, give them a pass, yet still bash Walmart. Both are gross. But keep on ordering, people, because I know you will. All right, let's get to Words to Live By. Brother Mace?
Yes. John Steinbeck once said that strong social safety nets never took root in America because, the quote, poor see themselves not as an exploited class, but as temporarily embarrassed millionaires. We can expect more, America. We can do better. Words to Live By has been brought to you by immunity.proclub.com.
So I want to say, go ahead and play your hip-hop, eat your cheese, just be careful in that car ride.
Drive called queso.
Hey, it's been fun, Mace.
Yeah, dude.
Bro, it's so good to have you back.
Yeah, man, I love doing this with you, you know.
Yeah, appreciate you. We'll do this again tomorrow. Chef, thank you for all of your work that you do. And unfortunately, everybody text in, I agree with Chef. Oh, it just really messes with my
mood.
Yeah,
we got to take him down a couple pegs tomorrow.
It's tough, man. The dude has little. He's a little guy, right?
What are you
so he knows
about?
How. He knows, he's a little.
Six, he can't take me down anymore.
You're scrappy. Yeah, true.
He is scrappy.
Hey, Andrew, thank you for the work you do, sir. I always appreciate you, man.
Salute.
And we do this again tomorrow. That's right. We'll be in at 9 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your day. I hear the weather is getting ready to be beautiful from here on out the rest of the week. Hey, we appreciate you for listening. Love you for that. And be good.